kind of go in, get captured by the wetland, get treated, and then over time it gets taken up by the plants or it evaporates and or it moves into the soil, and it almost makes a sort of runoff neutral condition, which is, you know, fantastic. And so we're excited about this, and this will be something that you'll hear more about as time goes on. So moving on to algae and kind of where we are in our alga populations for this time. Here's the graphic. We're at that point in the fall where we see the sort of last spike in alga biomass. The alga biomass right now is high. It's extremely high. It's as high as you'll see it from year to year. Overall, we had a pretty good year in terms of alga biomass, and we had a really good year with toxins. I'll show you the toxin graphic here in a second, but this is just the biomass, and you can see we're in that last spike. We had a little bit of rain over the course of the last couple of weeks, at 2 or 3 days. Some of that rain made it into the lake, not a huge amount, and that's just a testament to how dry it's been. Most of that water got kind of sucked up by the soils that were so parched. But a little bit of that did get into the lake, and what we're seeing right now is we're seeing that last uptick of algae. We see it this time of year, every single fall, and it should drop off pretty quickly. You know, perhaps not next week, but definitely by the end of October, we'll be starting this sort of downward slide. What's kind of interesting is when you look around the lake, like, it's not a surprise that you can see the alga bloom right now, and you can see that it's different than it's been all summer long. What's interesting right now is we don't seem to have the monoculture of Planktothrix that we've had all year long. In some of the channels and some of the sort of backwater areas, you're going to notice the sort of spilled paint. It almost looks like someone poured paint on the water. If you see that, that's usually an indicator that what you're looking at is Microcystis. Planktothrix is a type of blue-green algae that disperses kind of throughout the water column fairly evenly. Microcystis is a blue-green algae that, especially when it starts to die or compete with itself, it forms these sort of surface scums that look almost plasticky. Almost, again, it just looks like spilled green paint. So you'll see that in some of the backwater areas. You may also see in some of the backwater areas, you may see some water that looks like somebody sprinkled tiny grass clippings, like a lawnmower or something, tiny grass clippings on the surface of the water. If you see, like, you know, millions of tiny grass clippings on the surface of the water, that's usually an indicator of another species called a Phanazominum. That's something we've seen in the past before. It's not typical. Neither of those taxa are typical for this time of year. What's typical is the monoculture of Planktothrix. And so we're seeing, again, an uptick in a couple of other species of cyanos. Without looking at all of the data and putting it through all the models, it's difficult to tell the mechanism of why that might be. But the conditions of the lake drive all of this. And so what conditions has the lake experienced this year? Just enormous drought. And it has not gotten a lot of stream flow. And so that's almost undoubtedly part of this equation. Toxin-wise, we've done extremely well. Total microcystin levels, you can see the arrow, this was updated just a couple of days ago. So this is this week's data. But we're low, we're extremely low in terms of total microcystin. Unfortunately, some of these other taxa algae can produce other sorts of alga toxins. It's possible that some of those toxins are being produced in some of the channels where you see the sort of prolific blooms in these other taxa, but total microcystin, this is where we are. We've had a really, really good year. We started off the year, January to maybe March, we started off kind of in sync with the historical average, and then since that point, we've only had a couple of little upticks. And the majority of the year, with the exception of 2 weeks, we've been below the World Health Organization's revised microcystin contact limit. Remember, the state of Ohio sets it at 8, sort of universally for everything. The number is 8. And then the World Health has different categories. Are you drinking the water? Are you playing in the water? Are you, are you young? Are you not? There's all sorts of little cutoffs and little bins, but the sort of adult recreational limit is sitting right there at 24. That's the one that used to be 20. That's been edited. So the dotted line on this graphic that you've seen before has been moved up a little bit. And you can see we've got 1, 2, 3 weeks where we were over, but when we were over, it was just barely. So we had a phenomenal year. You can see the blank space between the historical average, the dotted line, and then the solid line. That blank space represents improvement. That void is a great thing. That's what we're looking for. So with that, that's all I got for today. Any questions about wetlands, algae, lake? What do we got? All right, well, I will turn it over to Dave Fahler for our State Park update. Thank you.
Good morning.
Morning.
Current lake level is negative 10.2 inches. We got a total of 3.27 inches of rain in September, which brought up the lake level 3/4 of an inch. So the total of rain so far for 2024 is 26.22 inches. Should be roughly in the mid to upper 30s. So as you can tell, it's been a pretty dry summer. Camp this week, this weekend, we have our Halloween camp out, and it is hopping. Full camp again. That makes a total of 21 weekends that we've had a full camp. It would be 22, but the bad weather with the hurricane coming through last weekend, we had a bunch of cancellations. Pool floor has been prepped for repainting. We repainted the camp store this year. Fall festival, which I'm sorry I didn't make it last month, but our fall festival was just crazy. We doubled the size of the area of the fall festival, and that almost tripled the number of vendor sites, because we also added grass vendors and we added local business, mainly boats. We had the boathouse, and I'm gonna forget some, I know I will. Freedom Outdoors, The Outdoorsman, Bayview, and D&W Golf Carts. The LIA had a booth as well. And we had over 100 campsite, or 100 booths, and right around 15 food trucks. So it was insanely busy. I would say between 10 and 2 last year, or last for this fall festival, we had more visitors for that fall festival in that 4-hour time frame than we've had in the past 2 years. It was crazy. We had people parked out on 703. It was so full. So that's something we're gonna have to work around for next year. Something else we're doing a little bit different is a food truck on the weekends. So we have you've been to the campground back 10 years ago, I think. We had a telephone booth there that was removed. And so there's a big pull off there. So we put a food truck in that pull off, and that's been very well received. Campers seem to like it a lot. The food trucks like it. They're making money, and the camp hosts make a little bit of money from the food truck being there. And ultimately that money from the camp host goes directly back into the campground. So a new addition, very well received, and we're glad to have them here. The day use areas, the new ADA fishing pier, well, it's new / old. It's in the same position, same place. Rob Heckler, the NRT supervisor, installed that as an Eagle Scout project in the late 90s, early 2000s. Ice destroyed it. And between Division of Wildlife, Maine, the biggest funder, and Parks, we have installed a new one. Kent Chainer and Chen Brothers installed it. We're waiting on the handrail to be installed, which there's a back order for a couple months, so that should be done later this fall. Early goose season will start off with a bang. No complaints, so that's a good thing. I still didn't see as many goose harvested as what needs to be, but that's neither here nor there. I have gotten reports that the crappie are biting, and they're about 10 inches long. So that's great for this fall crappie season. You will probably see my son and wife out and I fishing over the next few weeks. Remember, my biggest thing every month is safety. There are a lot of beautiful days in October for using the lake and boating. But remember, once it cools down, if the water temperature and the air temperature don't add up to 110 degrees, you're in danger of hypothermia. So just please be very careful when you're out there enjoying these beautiful days in the late fall when there's not a whole lot of boat traffic on the lake, but you can still get out there and relax, and just don't get lackadaisical and hurt yourself. That's all I have. Anybody have any questions? No questions at all. Wow. Okay. Good enough. Thank you. Brad, do you have that?
Thank you, Dave, and thank you, Dr. Jackman. And now I'd like to invite Mercer County Wildlife Officer Brad Muni up to talk about the duck season.
Yeah, thank you. My name is Brad Meaning. If you don't know who I am, I originally started my wildlife career in 2007 in Van Wert County, and I moved here to Mercer County, my home county, in 2018, and I've been here ever since then. My main job is to enforce the fish and wildlife laws around in Ohio here, and some of the streamletter pollution items like that. But so you may see me around. If you don't hunt or fish, you may not see me a whole lot, but if you do, I'm around the lake quite a bit during the hunting and fishing seasons. So I'm going to cover three topics regarding the duck season and beaver trapping around Grand Lake here. Then I'll answer any questions that you may have. First, a little bit about the duck hunting around the lake. You're going to notice you start to see some duck blinds being built, mainly if you're on the east bank, you're going to see those. They are a total of 76 blind spots around Grand Lake St. Mary's. Those blind spots are designated for construction of these waterfowl blinds that are semi-permanent for the season, made of wood, and they pretty much make a box for concealment for duck hunting and goose hunting. So you'll start seeing those being built. So October 1st went out there and counted 52 waterfowl blinds that were constructed so far. So they have 45 days to build their blind or put a permit, their permit on a stake or a marker that's out there. So all the permits were received on August 17th. So they should be majority of them built or planned to. So October 19th, that starts the duck and goose season. That's coming, two Saturdays. So half hour before sunrise and to sunset is a shooting time there. So sometimes, about every year, we get people calling in and wondering why they're shooting that early. So just be aware it's October 19th. So second on the list, new this year, so permits for the waterfowl hunting at the Mercer Refuge and the hatchery over there is done online now through the OLAP program. That's Ohio Hunters Landowners Access Program. So what you want to do there is the Wednesday before the Thursday, the hunt is on Thursday, and you apply on the Wednesday 10 a.m. to 11:59 a.m. and they draw at 12:05 p.m. So you'll know right away if you get drawn. It's a lottery system. It's different than we used to do it. There'll be one permit issued and per unit per day, and the permitting will be allowed two hunting partners. So be pretty neat. Lastly, the beaver trapping, we're going to have five beaver trapping permits issued this year to Coldwater Creek Treatment Train, Prairie Creek Treatment Train, and the Mercer Refuge, along with the Grand Lake St. Mary's. Last year, Grand Lake St. Mary's, they harvested quite a few beavers around the lake. So that's all my updates. I'll be happy to answer any questions they may have. Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'm confused. I've read the bulletin several times. I know there's an early teal season. If you're in a duck blind for duck season, can kill a teal. Is teal in season when ducks are in season?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, see, it doesn't list them as, so how many ducks can you get? Six, or six or five?
Yes.
And does the teal count that?
Five geese.
So if you got a teal and five and two mallards and two wood ducks and I don't know, another duck, are you over? Does the teal put you over that number?
Total six ducks.
And teal are included as ducks?
Yes, that's correct.
Why don't they list teal? So teal counts as a duck.
That's correct.
The goose counts as a goose, though.
Yes, that's correct. Right. Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Is there a chance that we're ever going to go back to drawing in person for the duck blind drawing?
Drawing back in person? You mean at the refuge?
At the refuge, we used to before COVID.
Yeah.
Right now,
there's 1,200, 1,600 entries into our blind drawing. But back in the past, it was 600 to 700. So my chances of drawing is 50% less now.
Yeah, it could be quite a bit less. I'm not aware of any changes that's going to be made on that anytime soon to go back to in-person. So as far as right now, there's no talk of changing that.
Is that true? There are actually 1,600 books?
Yeah, it's posted.
Yeah.
Okay. Like 1,600 of them.
Yeah, there's a fair amount.
There's 76 blinds.
Oh, yes.
That's fair.
Yeah, we added two extra blinds this year and removed one. So all the blinds. So we have 76. All right. Anybody else? Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Brad. That concludes our meeting other than the 50-50.
$32,
$16
to the winner.
$32,
$16 to the winner. Park Tanger pulled lucky winner out. Winning number is last three, or
285. 285.
We did it.
Yeah.
Stephen Jackman, he donates it back.
Stephen Jackman won, he donated it back. Thank you very much. Well, I appreciate everyone coming out today and hope you get out this nice October weather and have a good day.
Thank you.